Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 14th of December. Guys, it's 11 sleeps till Christmas. Woohoo! Don't look at me like that, you two. Woohoo! I've been doing this from 15 weeks out. I've been counting down. Everybody hates me. It is nearly Christmas. Woo! I am joined in the studio today by our cyber security expert. Sorry, our security expert. Not just cyber, all types of security.
All types, yeah.
Richard Bell.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. He's a little bit hoarse this morning.
I am, yes.
I did feel poorly with him until he explained why he was feeling hoarse, so I don't feel poorly with you anymore.
I just didn't sleep well, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. That's because you were partying. And our guest in the studio is the gorgeous Sue Hainsby from Kylie & Letton's.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm also struggling.
And she's struggling as well.
The naughty table.
It's Christmas.
And they have been laughing and giggling over there. It's going to be one of those shows, I can tell you. It's going to be so much fun. We're all excited because it's Christmas, aren't we?
We are.
You're so convincing. I am anyway. I know.
Christmas is for the kids, isn't it?
It is.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it is fun. We had Lucy's nativity this week, and she's in key stage one, so year two, she's seven, and this is the last year they'll do a nativity.
Yeah, same at Jordan's Wood.
Jordan's Wood, they don't do the
carols and
yeah.
That's it.
I'm like, oh, come on, people. But it was great. She was Angel Gabriel, and I got to go and see it twice. And
so it was a proper
nativity. It was called Prickly Hay, and the stars of the show were Sam and his friend Shrew, who was a shrew.
Right.
Oh. I know, exactly. Like, Shrew? Who's Sam and a shrew? But they did have Mary and Joseph and the baby and the donkey and the wise men and the shepherds and everything.
So
they did, yeah. They weren't gender biased at all.
My 5-year-old was one of the three wise geisha girls.
Three wise what?
Geisha girls. Really?
It was like Children of the World.
Okay. It lightly, Jessie just had carols.
Yeah. It's all the fun of Christmas. It's so funny, isn't it? Politically correctness gone so wrong. I'm surprised they didn't, change it around and have, Joseph as a single dad or something like that. Just change the story a bit. No, Mary. Don't worry about Mary. But it was good, and it is Christmas, so yes, we are excited. Are you excited? Give us a tweet, let us know. We want to know, we want to hear from you. Give us a tweet at Bunk Extra, hashtag Be Extra. You can call us, come on, call us on the studio on 01233 220035, 01233 220035. Let us know, are you ready for Christmas? Last week on the show, we're joined in the studio by our co-host Mark Goldfinch, and our guest was Monique Gibbs, who owns ACD Recruitment. And it was lovely to hear from Monique and her quite unique way of how she runs her business, and she gets to know the jobs, what her clients want filling before finding the right person. So that was really good. If you want to listen to that show or any of the shows, you can simply go to bizradio.co.uk, hit on the extra tab. Apparently next year we're going to have a new website as well. So there's a new exciting business bunker website coming with Bunker Extra. So that's going to be all nice and new and spangly next year. Have a look on that. So we've had a bit of a laugh in the studio this morning, and it was quite apt that Richard's here, because we were talking, obviously Richard covers with us security and things to look at and talk about.
Generally just looking after yourself and protecting your own data.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, you have made me into such a paranoid person that I had a nightmare the other night, a bad dream that I'd be hit by ransomware. And I was like, I'm so paranoid these days. I just won't changing all my passwords and everything. But it was quite interesting. We had a little lesson this morning that, what happens if you don't secure your social media handles?
Yeah, I mean, this is a common problem, more so in the studio,
yeah.
Is that you log on to your social media on a public domain or a public area where is a shared space, and you leave all of your access to your Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, Insta, all of the accounts that you would like to share your message with, and you don't walk away and log out. And what happens is that you get an extremely naughty presenter coming afterwards and start messing about with that account.
Exactly. You know what? And Molly, you got off lightly. Because I could have done so much more. But
I did stop her, Molly. She was going to put some foul stuff out there. But
I won't tell you what Richard told me to do.
Did you actually offer to do it?
Yeah. So let me do it. Or wasn't it something like change her passwords? So she can't get into her account.
Hold her ransom.
You got off lightly, Molly. Remember to log out of your social media accounts when you're in a shared office space,
you know,
or screen.
We've just chucked the gauntlet down now, so she'll bounce back, I'm sure.
I always close mine. I always lock mine out, even more so now. But it's one of those. But on a serious note, it is something for people to watch because there's so much cloning going on and the bad people. And I guess at this time of year, it's even more rife for. You know, the criminals out there, because people are doing so much more online and posting and buying,
absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely. I mean, we touched upon it the last show I was on around Black Friday. Mm. You know, criminals are like consumers. They seasonal. They follow trends. They follow where what they consider to be the high risk times of the year. We as consumers, we want to get everything and very quickly, and we need to get presents. So they'll use that opportunity to work up a profile to look to try and compromise your data in some way or another, whether it be, you know, selling fake goods or trying to push you into a path where they get a chance to steal your data. So, Christmas is always, Christmas is always a time for criminals. And, you know, there'll be just as many criminals walking around shops trying to steal and do shoplifting. So, you know, this is not a new phenomenon.
It's
Christmas. It's just the chosen way of a lot of criminals nowadays, because there's less chance of them being caught. And convicted, is to do it online.
Yeah, scary. We've had a few tweets this morning. So we've got one from the Business Diaries, the lovely Lisa Settle. Good morning, wishing you a fab show and a big hello to our lovely storyteller, Sue, class of 2018.
Oh, morning, Lisa. Yes. She's lovely.
She is. We love Lisa. And then she did put a ha-ha, I expect some foul play. I don't know what you mean, Lisa. and everyone from the Tail Intelligence office, have a great show, everyone. And I think there's one, I saw one from Athelbrae. Where's it gone? Are you done with it? Here we go. Oh, tree is up, mince pies and sausage rolls frozen, presents bought but not progress to wrapping yet. Oh, you're behind with your wrapping. Because last week, Kate, you put us all to shame saying how organised you were. Are you guys ready? Have you done? Bought?
Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife took care of it in
exactly.
July or something.
Exactly. Oh, no, we're not one of those super organised people.
Yeah, super. No, there's a few bits that we need to do. I've been off for the last couple of days and just sort of bringing stuff together and making sure that Christmas has landed so that we can be a bit more relaxed. But yeah, all the shopping's done. Everything's...
Nearly there. Haven't done an awful lot of wrapping. We have quite a lot of trees. We have trees outside the house. They're up. But this weekend, we've got trees up inside the house. So, yeah, I've got a weekend in doing trees.
Decorations and
stuff.
We've
got grandchildren tonight. And I think my husband's actually scared of my granddaughter because she was very distressed that we don't have any trees up. So we now have an additional tree in the porch that they're going to dress when they
get home. Is that
going to
be the children's
tonight?
When is it?
Sorry?
That's going to be the children's tree.
Yeah,
to
but
decorate.
I'm not very good with all this, you know, a bit of that, what they call it, ornament placement disorder. So I think I'm going to struggle with the kids in the porch trying to stuck stuff here, there and everywhere. So I might have to take myself somewhere else.
Yeah, don't watch. Yeah. It's like, have you ever seen that Friends where they have all of them decorating one side of the tree and Monica decorates the back?
I am Monica.
And they'll go like, there you go. And then Monica turns the tree around and goes, oh, yeah, that's perfect. It's like the back of the tree is
I am
Monica's.
Monica. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a bit like, I was like, no, Lucy, you don't want to put that there. Try putting it here. It looks so much better here. It's like, yes, mummy.
I'll be saying a lot of that later, I think.
I know it's good. I'm having to say a big shout out to Amazon. I love you, seriously. How much easier. I mean, I know we should all be buying local and everything like that, but it's not the way of the world. I can't buy the science kit and the microscope I've got for my daughter locally and delivered next day. Yeah. I mean, we've been having the Amazon delivery guys have been up and down our driveway every day for the last week. It just makes life so easier. It's brilliant. brilliant. So fantastic. But a tweet from Lisa Settle saying, I'm not sure about password managers. What is Richard's view? So let's get on to the serious stuff now. Let's get on to security. So Lisa's saying about, obviously, we're talking about obviously keeping up to date with your, keeping your password secure and everything.
Yeah.
What do we think about password managers?
There's some good password managers out there. I don't use a password manager. There's a lot of also, and we were talking about this the last show, where you know, regardless of your password manager, you tend not to log out of any of your devices, as we sort of alluded to earlier, and your computer remembers it anyway. So, you know, there's I come up with a sort of method around how I use my passwords and what they mean. They're meaningful to me.
Mm.
So, you know, I haven't got much grey space up there now, but my password manager is my brain. But I stick to a routine that I understand, and there's denoting sort of characters within each password that tells me which account it actually relates to.
That just sounds way too complicated to me.
Which is that the fear is, and there are lots of password managers out there, and you can probably get ones off of the App Store or Google Play or whatever. It's just, my fear is that if that gets compromised...
That's what I was just thinking. If your password manager gets hacked, then they've then got all your passwords.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's their business in trying to make sure that they've got the right type of encryption and that they protect customers. But all eggs in one basket.
Yeah. How often do you change your passwords?
Every day. It's midnight. It's time to change passwords.
Every show that I come away. There's different standards. I mean, certainly when you're looking in business, you would do anything between 30 days and 90 days for a business type account.
Yeah.
And I think that's good practice to pick one of those and do it. But maintain the accounts. So many times they're created for, and we were talking about this on Black Friday, and it's the same for Christmas. You go, oh, I need to buy something from whoever, and you set up an account and you have that password and you have that email account, and that could be similar to one that you use more heavily, but actually you forget about that. That gets compromised, and then your account that you really use quite a bit is compromised as a result. So it's that sort of fire and forget bit is really important not to have. Just maintain your accounts.
So how about keeping it old school, writing your passwords in a little notebook and hiding that somewhere in your office?
Well, the clear risk is losing that.
Simply
being stuffed.
Where did I hide it?
I hid it somewhere. And we all hide stuff in the same place. So much so that you can never find it, or someone recognises that that's where you use, you know, that's how you manage your passwords and steals it. There are bad people out there, you know. I don't want to be Grinch, but you know, there are bad people that will look to steal it. It's personal preference. Whatever helps you manage, but manage.
Don't have the same password for every single thing that you do and manage and change it. And I keep changing it and then I keep forgetting what I've changed it to.
Yeah.
Oh, it just gets so complicated. But it was good. And another area we're going to look at today. Sorry, we've got a tweet back from Lisa saying, I agree with a good procedure for remembering passwords. Can we have... what is a good procedure for remembering passwords? Can we have an example?
Well, there's passwords or passphrases.
I think Lisa's just trying to find out what your passwords are.
I think she is.
You're trying to get into his accounts,
Lisa.
I'm desperately
trying to not give her any. Use different characters. Use numbers instead of letters that would still form part of the word. So, you know, one becomes an exclamation mark. E becomes a three. You know, those type of things. Just mix it up. So have a strong word that relates to you and you understand it, but make the change within that word. Rather than try and go, you know, Richard 1, it would become something like Richard exclamation mark C 3 or whatever, you know. Do you remember when we used to do the, you'd write a word on a calculator?
Okay, what word was it you used to write on the calculator?
I'm not going to say.
Is that the mission of the day? To have these accounts.
We're working on it, Lisa. We're getting there.
Unity is a bit fragile today. We might get away with it.
You might well do.
We're getting into his account.
Anything that makes it easy for you to remember, but hard for people to guess.
Yeah, it's having that combination that it takes them that much longer to try and
The majority of hacks are created by technology and by bots and other things. There's very rarely a human behind it unless you're being specifically targeted, which is really unfortunate. So, make it as difficult as possible. It doesn't have to be Enigma. You know, it doesn't, not the word, as in password. It doesn't have to be anything too scientific. It just needs to be something different. Mm. So get a good strong word and then change that word with some of the characters.
There we go, Lisa. We've sorted you out. And have you worked out Richard's passwords yet? No? Let us know. Tweet it. Now, something else that's actually occurred to me recently, and I have spoken to Richard about it because he has made me paranoid, so I do look into everything now. But he then did tell me this emails are doing the rounds. So I got an email the other day. It was in my junk box. So, you know, well done, Gmail, for putting it straight into spam. But, you know, you think, oh, I'll just have a look. So I had a look at it, and I sort of skimmed over it. And I read it was ransomware, my victim, pay me Bitcoin. And I'm like, oh, we've put something on your website. If you don't pay me, we're going to let it. And I was thinking, okay, I've possibly been hit by ransomware here. And I photographed it and I sent it over to Richard and I went, help, what do I do? Is this real or can I just delete it? Then I read it properly and it went, when you recently was watching porn the other day, we caught you and got videos of you in action. So then I sent a message to Richard saying, I didn't watch porn, it's not me. So no, I do not watch porn, honestly. But then you said, Richard, it is something that's going around at the moment. And I guess a lot of people are, again, the same as me. You don't necessarily read it properly. And then you're like, oh, my God. Yeah. So what's it called? It's a...
It's sextortion.
Sextortion.
So it's extortion with an S. It's to try and...
Sorry. Lisa's just tweeted, is Richard's password boobs?
If it was, it would be 00 in the middle.
Anyway, back onto sextortion.
Yeah. Moving swiftly on from boobs. Let's talk about porn.
Yeah.
So forget about all the emotion around it. There's a phishing email that's going around doing the rounds at the moment that preys on people. And in fact, it certainly starts with, I've got some bad news for you, or dear prey. And it's preying on people's... guilty conscience. So, you know, someone to react quite quickly. And, oh, God, I thought I was watching that. And,
yeah.
I thought I had my VPN on. It's meant to scare people into thinking that they've been videoed doing something that they maybe shouldn't have done. In essence, that's quite difficult to do because at some stage, it's fairly easy if you don't pay attention. But a lot of the messaging that we've been talking about for the last year has been about, you know, not clicking on links that you don't know and are not trusted. Well, you would have to have clicked on a link for them to have access to your webcam.
Yeah.
So, you know, taking all of the whole shock, horror, God, they have actually caught me watching porn, if you have and you haven't. My mum listens to this program. I don't, mum. I've never said the word porn in my life in front of her. But it preys on the fact that you may have done something wrong, or in fact that someone else has had your computer and stuff. It is fake. It is extortion. It's trying to prey on people to get you to pay an amount of money in Bitcoin. Although, you know, all major credit cards will probably be used as well. It's been going around doing the rounds. It's not just a personal thing that you find pop up in your Gmail account. Businesses have been receiving it as well. The idea is that they'll just try and extort money from you in some way or another.
Yeah, because I think I can't remember which of my accounts it was. I think it's from my new account set up for my new website. And I had a week or so ago, I had similar emails and I just saw them in my spam and I was like, oh, I'll just delete them. And the fact that I got another one, that's what made me think, okay, again, I'm not reading properly. I just saw Dear Prey, Ransom, and I was like, I'll just delete because they were in my spam. But because I got it again, you know, this is your last warning. Like, that's what it makes you think, well, hang on a minute, I need to read this.
And they start to put the pressure on you. So, and there will be a series of emails. Some will get caught, some won't. But then you'll tend to read the last bit of the text and you've got 24 hours to do this before we release it to the world. And you go and you look back in your spam box or your inbox and go, oh, well, they did warn me about this 2 weeks ago. Maybe this is legit. And we know that there are many, many people out there, vulnerable and otherwise, you know, various degrees of intelligence in this space and managing accounts, that will fall victim to it. There's some simple things that you can do to not make matters any worse. Is don't engage with the fisher or the criminal that's posing these questions and trying to make these demands. Don't engage with them. You know, there's no, because they know what they're going to say next. You don't.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really something.
Then just I think that when we've got you on the hook. That's it. We'll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've spoken about phishing many, many times. Delete the email if you can. It's a really, you know, arduous chore for some, but, you know, there are reporting centres and we've spoken about action fraud in the past. All of that intelligence, all of that information that goes in there does become intelligence and helps people.
So what would you do? This. Would you just email them, say, I've had this email, and then give them, send them the copy of the email, or
maybe so, or just, you know, just explain the circumstances behind it. You know, they'll
and just make sure
one of millions that they've received anyway.
And just write at the bottom, P.S. I do not watch porn. I don't know what they mean.
Some people do. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
really, digging a hole here. Digging a hole.
I only paid a couple of bitcoins. It was fine. Never be tempted to pay. You know, they prey on the emotion, they prey on the guilt, they prey on the wrongdoing and the sense of, you know, all people are going to find out about this. It's a really uncomfortable space to be in, but be comfortable in just not paying,
just
ignoring it.
Don't engage, as it were.
I don't know about the email that you received, but certainly within others that I've seen, it validates itself by it's actually showing you a password that would have been a password associated with an account in the past.
Right. Yeah, no, they didn't have anything like that.
Again, that puts pressure on to sort of the genuineness of this. It's not, it will be a password that would have been yours that would have been picked up in a breach somewhere else along the line. So if that's the case, then, you know, don't panic. It is a breached account. If you're still using that password, certainly change it immediately, because you should have anyway. And just try and continue life as normal and not fear any of this stuff.
Yeah, and don't forward your email to your security expert and then read it afterwards.
don't forward any links to me.
What's this? Do I need to worry about this?
He's got his own.
I've got my own links. No, which site was you on? Thank you for that. And again, it's being vigilant, people, when just making sure you are secure. See, we're not just Richard's not just here to make me paranoid; he's here to make the whole world paranoid.
Everyone paranoid. Although I've been saying for the last 12 months that, you know, cyber isn't sexy, and I've managed to get the word sex porn.
Exactly.
Boobs.
Happy Christmas, everyone. Yeah. You're welcome.
And it's not even the Christmas show yet.
No, I know.
That's brilliant. Thank you again for great advice. We've had a tweet from the fabulous Amy Nicholas. Hi, Amy. She's listening this morning from Clear Cut Venues. If you need a venue for your event, give Amy a shout, because she can help you at Clear Cut Venues on the Twitter. Amy, did you hear all the talk? We've just been talking boobs, porn. You know, I know you need to be listening to this to be aware. You know, next time you look at a porn site, be careful. She'd be like, go away.
Put a bit of tape over the camera.
Yeah. Richard, he's letting away all his secrets now.
sorry, Mum.
Yeah, sorry, Mum. We're sorry to Richard's mum to making him say all these bad words today. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Any Christmas presents from your mother, Richard?
No.
Richard, you are, funnily enough, listening to the Business Bunker Extra. You haven't tuned into some... alternative reality show. It is Friday the 14th of December. 11 sleeps people. I don't know if anyone listens. I listen to Hart Kent, and they have every morning they have the song Sleeps to Christmas, and they have some a child phoning in saying like Merry Christmas to everybody, here's the Sleeps for Christmas song. And then so then we get the 11 sleeps to go, 11 sleeps till Santa, 11 sleeps till the big fat man comes down your chimney with yeah. So that song is ingrained in my head every morning now. Thanks, Hart, for that. And now it's ingrained in your head.
We should have recorded that and played it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I might. Good idea. I might do that for next week.
Chorus.
It's brilliant.
The croaky backing singer.
Croakies, yeah. The husky. Husky is the husky voice. We're going to have a quick break now. We have a bit of a Christmas song for everybody. And then when we come back, we are going to be speaking to Sue and finding out more about her life. And her fantastic business, Kylie and Lettins. So, right back after this, everyone's going to love this. Got to have a bit of Wham at Christmas.
Advertise your job vacancies in Kent with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And welcome back. And you are listening to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 14th of December. Can't believe it, really, because forget all the excitement of Christmas. So there's 11 days till Christmas, which means there's only 18 days left of 2018.
It's gone very quick. It's like, I feel like a real old person going, this year's gone really fast, but I feel like it's gone very, very fast.
It has, hasn't it? It's just like, wow, where's it gone? And I'm already obviously planning my events for next year. So I keep on talking about this year as last year and we're still in this year. But it just, when you do, I guess in, a lot of people do it, but in business, you're always forward planning. Sometimes you forget, don't you, to look back and see where you've come from. I think there's a lot of things people do. I like to do sort of Christmas, New Year, is to have a look back on the year and go, oh, blimmin' hell, I've actually, No wonder I'm so tired.
Yeah. We did that at the, I did that end of August, sort of like, well, sort of like summer holidays. Mm. I meant to do like a half year one. I did it then, and there was loads. And again, you are surprised at how much you've actually done. So yeah, we'll probably do that over the Christmas break, because it is good. Because you say you get back in January and you're.
And then you're at it
again and you forget everything.
And I'm already planning my meetings in January. And it's, you know what happens, doesn't it, in January? Okay, like January I can get back into it. But before you know it, by the time you've booked meetings in, it's the end of January already. And then here you go again. It's another year.
Yeah, it starts hard in January.
It's like, January's busy. Yeah, got a busy January.
Yeah, exactly. It just flies by. But exciting. I'm really excited about next year. Every year in business, you're building and growing and maintaining, or you know, it's what's new, what's coming. Do you set goals and plan?
I don't set goals. I was listening last week and I guess I'm probably in Paul's camp. I'm not.
Yay, one for Paul. Yeah. Somebody has to.
I'm not a great goal setter. I kind of know the things I want, but I don't have set targets to meet by set things. I just kind of say yes to a lot of stuff nowadays. And just see where it goes really.
But do you have an end goal? Is probably the wrong word, but do you have a where you want to be in so long?
I have an exit strategy, which sounds really grown up.
Oh, okay. But yes.
Really seriously,
that's good.
Grown and up, I guess, especially this morning. And that's not to get out to the car.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the door is just behind you. Stairs to the right.
We go together because we feel the safety in numbers. But so it's slightly more grown up than that. My business has two elements to it. So I have my personally owned properties and I have properties that I manage for other landlords. So with our personally owned properties, we are selling some of those and we will use the equity that I've got in them to pay off my very, very, very large mortgage that I have on the block down at Rochester. So that in sort of 3 years or so, that block is completely mortgage free. And then, not that I want to retire or anything yet, but should I want to scale down, I can obviously at any point stop managing for other landlords. And I've just got, you know, the block and 19 apartments, which will be a breeze for me after of everything else that I do at the moment. So, yeah, it's...
So it's a bit of a plan. That's a little bit of a plan. Exit strategy is a plan, isn't it? It's where you want to go.
I'm not going to be very good at telling the tenants that I've got that I want to sell their homes. I know I'm going to really struggle with that. So ideally...
Have you thought about coming on radio ever before and telling people?
By the way, guys. Yeah.
Sorry.
Number 42.
Tenancy renewals are off this year. So I'm hoping to do it organically, which is what has happened. So it's almost like one of those things, start to think about it. And then I've had two people say for various reasons that, you know, they want to move out. So, yeah, those two properties, one's already sold and one's on the market. So it's not anything immediate. It's not anything that has to happen. It's a long-term plan, but it is a loose plan.
See, now we've gone to the end of your career.
That's me on a beach.
Yeah, let's see, there we go.
Another dream, yeah.
let's roll you back, right back to the beginning.
Yes.
So how long has Carlene Lettins been going now?
I became a landlord in 2005 and then started managing for other people in 2009.
Okay, so what did you do before that?
Before I became a landlord?
Yeah.
Beauty therapy. Yeah, as you can see this morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, beauty therapy for a lot of years in various sort of guises. But I was working for myself from home, bought a rental property, had no intention of managing it, handed it over to the number one letting agent in Sidcup, who, disaster. It was just that, I mean, the tenant abandoned.
That's fine, they won't be listening. We can't.
More things went wrong on that property than have ever gone wrong on anyone since. Had to unravel it all and then just didn't feel comfortable handing it over to someone. So figured I'd have a try at managing it myself. So we used a letting agent to find the tenant and then I managed it. And I just really quite liked it. So then we started to invest quite heavily. So over the next few years, and finance was a lot easier then. Mm. You know, there was a time where I was buying more houses than shoes, which is
really
quite unusual.
Very
quite unusual.
Blimey. So just because you sort of, you know, don't trying to sneak past the beauty therapy stuff. Is that what you have? You always worked for yourself?
I've never really worked properly.
I've never really worked. End of. I don't work.
I had my first daughter when I was 16. So my plan was to leave school and go to dance college. I then got pregnant, which was a little bit inconvenient. So I didn't go to dance college, had my first daughter 4 months after my 16th birthday. So I didn't work really I was at home with her, didn't work. Just did odd bits and pieces really. So never, and then went back in my 20s, early 20s to do beauty therapy. It wasn't anything that particularly grabbed me. It was just something, had a second daughter by then that I could fit around the family. So, so I just did that. So I did it for a few years. It never really, really enthused me.
It was a means to an end, really.
It fitted in.
Yeah.
It fitted in. I didn't ever see myself as being an office person, which is bizarre because
I spent most of my life in the office now.
In an office. Just a beauty therapy. And then we had the property. So for a while, I was doing beauty therapy, managing the property. My eldest daughter was getting married. It was just really busy and something had to give. So I decided to have a change of tact, close up. But it was very quick. I'm not a great planner or thinker. So it's always make a decision and do it. So, just close the beauty therapy business down and started to focus on the property stuff. So, and I love it.
But that's the thing as well, isn't it? And sometimes that's how it happens. And that's why Paul is he's so adverse to goals. He said, because if you set a goal, it's almost like you're not open to other opportunities happening because you're like, well, no, that's my goal. I'm just focusing on that. And you don't look around you. Yeah. Whereas by not having a fixed, like, that's where I'm going and that's how I'm going to do it, being open to the opportunities. And you say it took you, it worked out that you stopped doing the beauty therapy and started with the letting.
And I never intended to manage properties for other people either. I won an award back in 2009, and that was a female landlord, property woman of the year, so it's Southeast Region for the National Landlords Association. So it's a regional award, and the ladies I was talking to, the other regional winners, talking to them, and a lot of them started as landlords, moved on to managing for other people. And then, you start to think, well, that's all right. Mm-hmm. So I know what I want as a landlord. And that's why I believe I'm very different to a lot of people, because I am a landlord. I know what landlords want.
Yeah.
A lot of high street letting agents, because lettings doesn't churn over as much money as sales, they have very young people in there that are not landlords. I know what a landlord wants and what they don't want. And that's the way I run my business from a landlord's perspective. We work for landlords. We're there for landlords. We look after the tenants. Once the tenants are in, they're very, very well looked after and I'm on tap sort of like 24/7. But I know what a landlord wants, and primarily I am a landlord.
And so do you do just domestic properties, or do you have any commercial properties as well?
No commercial properties.
So it's all domestic.
Yeah.
And so but it must be, although obviously you say you enjoy it and you understand from the property owner's point of view, you must also then see it from like the tenant's point of view as well. And you must have fun with some tenants. There must be some nightmare tenants out there.
It's a people business. You have tenants that you're
trying to get the dirt here. Come on.
You're never here from. And then you have tenants that, I was saying earlier, Wednesday started off with someone texting me at 6:30 a.m. That was the first text. And the last text was a video of a dripping tap. At about 10:30 at night. Well, because I'd been out with my friends for 12 hours that day, I wasn't really feeling it.
No.
At 10:30 at night, picture of a dripping tap. It's like, no one cares. It's the ceiling falling down. Get a bucket. No one cares.
Sort it out.
It's time at night. My tenants are lucky. I think there's all these fancy new apps out there for tenants, whereas if you've got a maintenance issue, you go onto this app and it will ask you questions and talk you through trying to repair it yourself, and then if you can't, then you call as the tenant, you call an emergency service. That doesn't happen with us. They call. I'm not a builder. I spend a hell of a lot of time around builders, so I've got, unless something's completely off the wall, I would have seen it before. So I can talk through with them, and unless it's a complete emergency, I'm not going to be calling someone out at 10 o'clock at night.
No,
certainly not for a dripping tap.
Yeah.
we'll deal with it in the morning. But they get a person to talk to. I will answer the phone if it's urgent.
Okay, and I guess that's the thing that's the difference, isn't it? If you've got like a tenant that's annoyed, at least you can talk them down, yeah. And at least they can be assured that it, you know, and they know it is going to be sorted at some point.
And I just wonder with these apps, you know, I know if I've got a problem at home, so look, my Virgin Media, and they say, oh, press this, take the card out, do this. And I go, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm not doing it.
No.
I'm not doing it.
No.
They don't want to do it. People like to rent because they don't want to do that. They want to pick up the phone and someone else do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what my landlords pay me to do, not to give them an app.
No.
And then call out an emergency person because they haven't pressed this, that and the other. And the emergency person will be twice as much as a person that comes at 9 o'clock the following morning.
Yeah, exactly.
If I can talk it through and calm the situation down and then book the person for 9 o'clock. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I'm amazed how you stay calm because I'd be like...
It's quite weird. People sort of think that I'm calm, but I'm not calm. No one that really knows me thinks I'm calm. But I guess it's a long time now of seeing stuff. I don't react to anything.
No, I guess, I guess that's the thing. Your tenants want you to be just like, yeah, we'll sort it.
Yeah.
And that type of thing. And that's all they want. People just want response and sorted
landlords,
and that's it.
Most of my landlords, you know, they're very busy. They're either business owners themselves or they don't want the broken boiler calls or the broken washing machine calls or stuff like that. That's what we do. But it doesn't faze me anymore.
So I'm trying to do two things at once here and I'm failing to multitask. What's wrong with me? It must be a Friday. I remember a conversation we had quite a long time ago. And it was a story that did make me laugh where you had, you were dealing with some builders and they were having to do some drilling or something and they were drilling in the wrong place.
They were drilling, yeah.
And that's the thing that sort of surprised me because, you know, people...
I wasn't calm. That was not a calm.
No, exactly. But also, you're not a big person, Sue. You're nice and dainty and everything. And she was facing up to these builders who were just, you know, what they should be doing.
No, they weren't. They were trying to cut corners. Natasha kind of called and said, oh, I've just driven in and there's somebody digging up the path. What do you mean? So I said, oh, I'm not long. And as I drove past, there was two guys with Kangos digging up my block paving. So not very calmly, I stopped and not like, what are you doing? They were two Eastern European guys. They were very lovely, but they didn't have very good English. So they were from Virgin Media and basically where they should have been digging up the footpath, it was far easier for them to lay their new pipes through all of the bedding surrounding my building. But then to do that, they then had to go across part of my sort of like drop curve. So they were drilling across that. So I've then got their, because they couldn't speak very good English, it's like, show me your drawings. So I've then got their site planned out and their drawings all in the floor. And then I'd Medway Council within a heartbeat. And I remember one of my tenants going, is everything all right? Because I can hear you shouting. It's like, stop drilling now.
Stop, don't do it. Put the drill down.
And then you call there. I said, call your boss. And then he's like, what's the problem, love? You're digging on my building. And then he said to me, no, what it is, I think you're a bit confused. It won't be your building. You're probably living there in one of the apartments, but it's not your building. I can see the on-air, so I won't tell you what happened. Yeah. The conversation went on.
The air went blue.
That wasn't a calm day. it wasn't a calm day.
You do get those.
Yes.
And you get quite a few. Do you get quite a few of those or is it?
That was quite random. I've never had anyone digging up my property before, but... I've had the whole eviction thing, bailiffs, and it's unpleasant, but
it's still a business that you enjoy.
Love it.
Doing.
Love it. Yeah. Most people are generally nice, aren't they? Mm. People are generally nice. My tenants are all lovely. The tenants I have now are all lovely. Things go wrong in people's lives and it's how people deal with it, isn't it? Some people sort of bury their head, which never really works, especially, you know, if you bury your head and you don't pay your rent. Some people come and say, look, this is how I've lost my job. This has happened. I'm more than happy to work with it. And then some people, unfortunately, become a bit of a victim and it's someone else's fault. And that's when it becomes very, very difficult. And the last lady had to evict. That's what she did. It was my fault that she wasn't paying her rent with her housing benefit that she was receiving somehow. I didn't quite understand why it was my fault.
Because everything's your fault, of course.
She seemed to think it was my fault. So then you're evicting someone, which is, you know, you've got bailiffs standing there, you've got locksmiths standing there. She's taking herself, and, you know, she's a woman my age, and they're not going to rehouse her. She's, you know, she's got no dependents, and I know they're not going to rehouse her. It's like, why would you do this to yourself? Mm. Because I've tried really hard to work with you. I really have, and, yeah, it's not pleasant.
No, I guess some people you just can't help, can you, no matter how hard you
try. And then you have to call it a day. You know, all of my properties are mortgaged, so everyone has to pay their rent so that I can pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, because my bank manager, he's not interested in anything, you know.
No, exactly.
Classic, a few years ago, one of the tenants texted me saying, "So do you mind if we don't pay our rent this month?" It was around this time of year, because we've still got a few more Christmas presents to buy. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it, because, you know, that bank will understand
I'll just tell
that.
The man at Lloyd's that that's what's happening, and I'm sure he'll be completely on board with that.
So what was your actual response?
Don't be ridiculous, pay your rent.
Don't be stupid. Now, alongside your business, you've been out and about a lot more these days, speaking and building the Sue profile, as it were, and working with the FSB.
Yeah, so that's really good.
Been representing them. So how are you finding all of that? Are you liking it? Are you
really
enjoying it?
Yeah, Deborah asked. I used to attend Deborah's, which used to see you at. The brunches that she used to do, which I really enjoyed. She couldn't make one last year and I covered for her, which I really enjoyed. So then she asked me earlier to cover for sort of like Dartford and Medway. So I had the first one middle of November and I really, really enjoyed it. So it's there. So yeah, just doing a few more bits. It's not like, again, it's not a huge plan. Just Lisa, I spoke for Lisa at the Business Diaries. I'm so, so nervous, but I enjoyed it when it was over. But yeah, really enjoyed that. Love the Business Diaries events that she does there.
They're always
really good. So yeah, just so FSB, great.
Because you didn't you work with Ali Harold?
Yes.
And with the
I did Ali's course. I did Ali's 3-month course, which is invaluable.
Mm.
Not with the intention though of being a public speaker, just stuff like this, just so you can speak a little bit more clearly when you do, even just doing your 30 seconds that you do at a regular networking event, just to be able to do that. And she's great. So the course, you know, I recommend it to everybody, you know, do the 1-day course and then go on. So I did, and it's great. It's a great help. It's an invaluable tool, I think, in any business. I can talk quite easily. And that's fine. But yeah, I can talk with my very croaky voice. I sound like I could be on a sex chat line. Yeah. Morning, don't I?
Well, I was going to say.
The pair of you could be.
We're going to start up a new business when we're finished here. Yeah. I feel it's working. We need to do it today while we both talk like this.
I'm going to be the male Morella Frostrop.
Absolutely.
Don't drink so much alcohol.
Yes, this is a lesson for you. Yeah, this is a lesson for everybody out there. When you're coming on the show and you've got to speak lots, don't have a heavy night the night before. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And it's always great to hear from our business owners of, you know, how they got started, why they got started. And it's great to know that yours is quite, you're following the path and seeing where it takes you, which is great. I think a lot of true entrepreneurs, that's what they do, is they see an opportunity, they grab it, they work with it, which is great.
Well, it's nice to have the business side of things running, to have, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in business to make money. So it's there to provide for my retirement. And so it's done what it was supposed to do back in 2005. It will have done what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But then the other stuff that has come along the way, like the FSB and the Business Diaries and stuff like this, it's great. It's lovely. I enjoy it. So, yeah, anything that I get asked to do, I just try to say yes to.
Say yes. Give it a go. It's brilliant. Well, if people want to find out more about you, what's the best way of them contacting you?
They can call. Maybe not 6:30 or 6:30 a.m. or 10:30 p.m. They can call. My website address is carlianne.co.uk and my email is sue@carlianne.co.uk.
Yeah.
I am on Twitter. I think I'm at Hainsby Sue on Twitter.
You are at Hainsby Sue on Twitter.
I always get myself confused. Yeah, at Hainsby Sue.
Yeah. And, Kylie, and on Facebook, Kylie and Lettings.
Yes.
And everywhere. So basically, yeah, look for Sue and you'll find her.
We're happy. If anyone's got any property questions, any landlord questions, more than happy to answer. You know, you don't have to be a client. You know, just email, message, however, you know, happy to help anybody, any sort of questions at all.
That's good. Yeah, I think it's nice for people to be able to have someone they can ask the questions to, they can reach out to. So there you go. You can reach out to Sue. Brilliant. We've had a tweet from the lovely Trinia. I can never say your full name. Sorry, Trinia. Stenson Walker, who is a glass engraver. Trinia Glass on the Twitter. So she engraves glass and she does beautiful engravings on glasses and wine decanters and that type of thing. And she's just said she'd like a shout out, please, because she's working her final shift at Selfridges this afternoon from 2 till 6. And she's hand engraving port bottles. I think that's a lovely idea, isn't it? If you're buying something nice at Christmas and just having that personal touch to it, which is lovely. So there's your terrible shout out for you, Trinia. I'm really sorry.
Have a great last day.
Enjoy it. I have got, in the last few minutes of the show, some dates for your diaries, because obviously, you know, there's not a huge amount coming up, going on over the next few weeks. Probably towards the end of January, things start getting busy again. But I have got... hang on a minute, is it all? Yeah, so it's all January. So December's done. Okay, the only important date you've got to remember in December is the 25th. Don't forget that. Then the 31st, maybe you want to do something on that day. But coming into January, coming up early in January, Friday the 11th of January is the Kent Business Summit, which is the University of Kent and Canterbury. And that's a whole group of people, the FSB, the IOD, the University of Kent, are all getting together. And they're bringing public and private sectors together with startups and entrepreneurs to discuss how to sustain economic growth for the country, which is obviously huge amounts of conversations going on about so much uncertainty about what's happening, because nobody knows what's going on with the B word. I'm not even going to say it on air. A whole farce that's been happening this week with it all. So, but the Kent University, they did one this year in January, which went down very, very well. So there's going to be different round tables going, and people can give their input, how they think they can help and what needs to be done to help sustain economic growth. If you want to find out more details, if you go onto the Biz Radio website, bizradio.co.uk/KBS, there's a whole blog on there from Paul about it, and you can find out more about it, be involved. It's free to attend, so it's great networking with other businesses as well, so it's really great to go to. On Thursday the 24th of January at 2 p.m, ZC are starting up their academies again. So at the St George Hotel in Chatham, ZC Academy is from 2 till 4 with the lovely Zoe Cairns and Gareth Cairns sharing with you new updates on social media and getting your plan sorted for your social media for 2019. I want it to be 2020. I can't wait to say 2020. It's 2020. What are you doing in 2020? I know, I'm wishing the years away already. Also, on the 17th of January, Dragon Co-working, it's time to waffle again. So waffle 6. They don't network, they waffle. And they actually eat waffles while they're waffling. It's cool.
Sounds good.
I've always seen the really lovely waffles, and you know, it could be healthy. Have a waffle, have some fruit on it, and then smother it with cream and chocolate. So if you want to find out more about that, go to dragoncoworking.co.uk. I've set him off again. Richard's laughing again.
I've seen a film about that.
Okay, here
someone
we go. Watch out, someone's watching you. Okay. So quickly, a few dates for later on next year. May the 1st to the 3rd is Social Day. Go to socialday.co.uk. Thursday the 9th of May is the Venues and Events Expo Southeast. Go to venueseventsexpo.co.uk. Friday the 31st of May, ZC Live. Go to ZC Social Media for that. So there we go, sorted year out till May.
Done.
Sorted. We have had another fantastic, fun show today. Thank you so much, Richard, for joining with us today and sharing boobs and porn and everything. It's been a great show.
I didn't say boobs.
No, that was Lisa.
That was Lisa. Lisa said boobs. Thank you, Sue, for joining us on the
it's
show today.
It's been fun.
We had so much fun. It's been great. Do listen next week. Next week, it's our Christmas special. So I have all four co-hosts in the studio at the same time. There will be bubbles, there will be cake, and we might talk on the air a bit as well. No, we're going to be talking next year. We're going to be talking plans, we're going to be talking goals, we're going to be talking, you know, business. So tune in next week from 11 till 12. Don't forget to listen to Paul's show on Friday. No, on Tuesday, 1 till 3. And have a great lineup of guests. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.